Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. That is a very poignant reminder of the great sacrifice made for you and me by Jesus Christ. Eternity penetrated time and came, left it all, so that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. A beautiful song sung by Greater Vision. I hope it ministered to your heart today. Well, I am very busy in the month of February. This first weekend, February 2nd through the 5th, I'll be in Monticello, Mississippi, at the Methodist Protestant Church for revival services. Then return home and be ministering at the church we attend in Columbus, Indiana, on the 9th of February. That's Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And then February 16 to 19, traveling down to Louisiana, to Ebenezer Church of the Nazarene in Crowley, Louisiana. That's February 16 to 19, as I noted. And then finish out the month here locally at Burnsville Christian Church, just Sunday only, February the 23rd. Our friends who listen to us on WYGS in Columbus, if you're looking for a church home, I would certainly invite you to Burnsville Christian Church, just outside of Columbus, Indiana. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our listening audience. I thank you for those folks who faithfully tune in week after week, and then for those who might just happen on the program. I pray that the songs and the sermon would truly minister to the hearts of those listening today. If someone's listening that doesn't know you, Father, through the person of Jesus Christ, I pray that you would convict them, help them to realize their need of you. Thank you for those who help keep us on this radio station, and I pray that you'd raise up others to help us keep this gospel on the radio. Thank you so much for your faithfulness in our lives, Father. I ask and pray all of this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. As we often noted and need to share with our listening audience, we are a faith-based organization. Lohman Ministries is a nonprofit organization, and we would love for you to pray about supporting this radio program through Lohman Ministries. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lohmanministries.org, and you can give through the Venmo or PayPal tabs there. Thanks so much.
Fallen from your eyes, life has been unfair to you. Words cannot explain the hurt deep inside. Your heart is broken in two. Oh, but I have a friend who bends broken hearts. At his feet you will find the soul's healing balm. He will bind every wound and remove every scar. I have a friend who mends broken hearts. You see, his heart too was broken as he walked on this earth. He tasted life's grief and life's pain. Oh, but now he is a heart physician. No matter your condition, his healing power is flowing in this place. Yes, I have a friend who mends broken hearts. At his feet you the soul's healing balm. He will bind every wound and remove every scar. I have a friend who mends broken hearts. He will bind every wound and remove every scar. I have a friend who mends broken hearts. I have a friend.
I'm reading from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 47. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews begin to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh, drinks my blood, remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? So much is going on in this particular chapter of the Gospel of John. As a matter of fact, one of the most familiar miracles in all the ministry of Jesus is recorded here in John chapter 6. And as you study the miracles of Jesus, you will find that most of them happen on a one-on-one basis. Just one person being impacted by the miracle-working power of Jesus. But here in John chapter 6, we see a minimum of 5,000 people are touched by the miracle-working power of Christ. You could probably double that figure because the Bible tells us that there were 500 men there that day when he fed them on 5 loaves and 2 fish. There were no daycare centers in Jesus' day. The women most often would go where their husbands went if they went out to hear Jesus. And then you can add the children. So there might have been at least 10,000 people there that day when Jesus fed them with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Philip volunteered. Half a year's wages would only provide enough for each to have one bite of food. Now, this makes this miracle of Jesus unprecedented. All the more miraculous because, you see, all of these people are about to get in on the miracle-working power of Jesus. He takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. What does he do first? He asks the blessing. He prays over them. And then he gives instruction to his disciples to distribute the bread and the fish to the multitude. Can you see this? Try and envision it. 5 loaves of bread. These were not giant-sized loaves of bread like we can buy. These were small loaves about the size of the palm of your hand. 2 small fish. Sardines. Jesus blesses them. And then he gives them to his disciples. And he says, you go and you feed the multitude. Can you imagine the looks of consternation on their faces? This is impossible. We can't do this, Jesus. No way that we can feed this crowd with two fish and five loaves of bread. But then they go toward the crowd, and I can see it in my imagination. One of the disciples walks up to one man who looks like he could eat the whole amount in one great gulp. And he says, listen, we don't have enough food here, as you can see. So just take enough to keep your stomach from growling and pass the rest along to the person beside you. And that person takes the bread and the fish, takes off a little bit of it, and then he hands it to the person beside him, and then he takes a little bit of it and hands it to the person beside him, and it continues on down the row throughout the multitude. But the amazing thing begins to happen. The bread and the fish, it does not diminish, it's multiplied. And by the time they've all been fed, Jesus says, gather up the remnants. 12 basketfuls of bread and fish left over. It's a genuine, bona fide miracle. They have become a part, the multitude, of the miracle-working power of Jesus. What's the result of that? Well, the people want to make Jesus king. Let's make Jesus our king. You do know why they wanted to make him their king. Free meals every day. But Jesus will have nothing to do with this. As a matter of fact, he retreats to a nearby mountain to pray, sends his disciples on across the lake. And during the night, he comes walking on the lake to his disciples. That's a topic for another sermon. They arrive at the other side of the lake. The crowd have gone down to Tiberias. They've gotten on boats anchored at Tiberias, and they made their way. Can you imagine the multitude and the number of boats it took? They catch up with Jesus at Capernaum, and they say, hey, Jesus, why did you leave us? We wanted to make you our king. Jesus sees right through them. He knows exactly what's going on in their minds. He says, I know why you've come to make me your king. You want another meal. You live on the level of your body. You live on the level of your stomach. You don't want the miracle-working power of Jesus operating in your life. Then he looks at him and he says, I'll tell you what I'd like for you to do. I want to give you this challenge. I would like for you to look at deep inside of yourself and experience real faith in me that operates 24 hours a day. That same power that flowed through your fingertips yesterday as you passed the bread and the fish from one pair of hands to another, I would like for that same power that multiplied the bread and the fish yesterday to operate in your life 24 hours a day. But look at their response. Well, Jesus, we'd like to do that. But we weren't reared that way. Our forefathers, whenever God would tell them to do something in the wilderness, they would ask for a sign. And he would give them what? Bread. Manna. Tell you what, Jesus, if you want us to allow you to operate in our lives 24 hours a day, like you did yesterday when we were fed with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and it was multiplied as we passed it from one pair of hands to another, tell you what, Jesus, give us some more bread. And Jesus says, you want bread? He says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. As I told you, you've seen me, and still you do not believe. Those the Father gives me will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall not lose any of these he's given me. I will raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone looks to the Son and believes in him. And they shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Jesus ran into a problem while he's preaching to the multitude. They accepted him initially, perhaps. But then, as It's most common when a crowd gathers to hear a preacher preach, they lost interest. They began to think about, well, when is it going to be done? What are we going to do after the sermon? Is he going to feed us again? They stop paying attention. They're not listening. Oh, they're hearing, but they're not listening. What does Jesus do? He just preaches the whole sermon all over again. You didn't hear it the first time. He seems to be saying, and I want to say it to you again, verily I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. Verse 47, chapter 6 of John. I am the bread of life, he says. Your ancestors, yes, they ate manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. Anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh, drinks my blood, will have eternal life. I'll raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food. My blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. And as he is re-preaching this sermon on being the bread of life, he reaches this tremendous climax. And it hangs on two words found in verse 57. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. You don't have to be a theologian to understand what he's saying. He's talking our language. As, so, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. They came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, you're talking about eating your flesh? Drinking your blood? We don't get that. This is a hard teaching. What are you talking about? In so many words, Jesus said, well, you've been watching my life. You've been observing the miracles that I've been doing. You watch me when I go off to the mountainside and I pray and spend time alone. You see how the Father and I have been operating together. You've been seeing how the Father has been planting divine wisdom in my mind, and I've been sharing that with you. You have seen how the Father has been giving me direction and instruction, and I seem to have some kind of journey that I am on, and I will not allow anybody or anyone to prevent that from happening. You've been watching all of that, and there is no question the crowd had seen the evidence that Jesus was not the run-of-the-mill, fly-by-night, street corner preacher. He was unique. He was saying things they'd never heard before. What does that mean to you and me, as much as it meant to the crowd then? He is saying, as the Father is flowing through me, I'm going to flow through you. As I have been living by my Father's instruction, you're going to live by me and what I say. As I feed off the Father, now you're going to feed off of me. As the Father has been flowing through me, now I'm going to flow through you. As I have done and will do what the Father wants me to do, so you're going to do what I want you to do. As I have relationship with my Heavenly Father, so now you are going to have relationship with me. Here's the proposition of the message. The scriptural standard for authentic Christianity is the kind of relationship that Jesus had with his Father. That's the kind of relationship that you and I are to have with Jesus. If we could ever get a handle on that kind of intimacy with Jesus, can you imagine the change it would evoke?
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches: in the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills; in the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky; in the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury; in the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria; and here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.